This is Audible.
Undercover Magic. Written by Lindsay Hall. Narrated by Laurel Schroeder. Chapter 1. The Real Death Valley. California, USA.
Hurry! I shouted. The sun is almost up!
The engine of our monster truck roared as my sister, Anna, the driver, pressed on the gas and laughed like a loon. I grinned. The nutjob loved speed. I crouched low on the platform built over the car's hood and clung to the railing, eyeing the terrain ahead for oncoming threats. Daylight was the most dangerous time in Death Valley. That's when the monsters crept out. Normally, night would be the most dangerous time, right? Well, not here. Even the sun was a weapon in the valley. This was the time it really got dangerous. We should have been home before daylight, but our last job transporting outlaws across the valley had run late, leaving us out here at the worst time of day. Right now, to be precise. While Anna drove the truck, it was my job to blast away any monsters that might want to snack on us. I was a lot of things, but monster snack wasn't one of them.
To the left, Bree! My sister shouted.
I squinted into the distance. The weak morning sun painted the desert valley in shades of gray and gold. A salt monster hurtled toward us on sturdy legs made of slabs of pressed salt. We were driving through the Badwater, a dried-out old salt lake, and these were the Guardians. One hit with their giant hands could pulverize puny mortals like us.
Ah, dang! These guys are the worst!
Salt monsters were a witch to take out, even with my sonic boom power. I called upon the magic within me.
Come on, don't fail me now.
My power wasn't exactly reliable lately, but out here in the desert, I didn't have to worry about property damage or zapping innocents. We were the only fools dumb enough and desperate enough to work out here. Anyway, all I had to do was hit the salt monsters. Easy peasy. Huh, as if. Anna hooted and laid on the gas. The burst of speed jerked me backward, but the climbing harness strapped around my waist and legs yanked and kept me in place. The monster thundered toward us, footsteps shaking the ground. Chips of salt rained off as it ran. The beast was at least 20 feet tall and half as broad. If I could pulverize him properly, he'd coat the rims of a lot of margarita glasses. Could we sell that? Not a bad thought for later. We needed the cash. I swallowed hard, focusing on the magic within me. It was like a stubborn light that zipped around in my chest, waiting for me to catch it and hurl it outward.
There's another, Anna cried.
Shoot. 50 meters behind the first monster, there was a second, even bigger one.
Head straight for him, I called.
A direct path would increase my chance of success. Anna veered left, tires kicking up dirt and rocks. The first monster was 20 meters away now, its craggy white face glowering. It had pits for eyes and no mouth. A face only a mother could love. I called on my magic, gathering it up in a bundle. It thrashed inside me, almost a wild thing, and I launched it outward. The power exploded forth, climbing into the dirt 10 feet to the left of the salt monster. Gravel sprayed up.
Dang it!
I called on the magic again, flinging it outward. It was a little easier this time, and the power shot toward the beast. It slammed into the creature's chest, blasting him into a million pieces. Salt rained down like snow, and we sailed through it. When I got it right, I got it right. The buggy zoomed away from the salt rain. Buggy was a weird name for such a hooking machine, but we liked that dichotomy. I licked the salt off my lips, wishing it really was coating the rim of a margarita glass, and squinted toward the next monster. The white stuff burned my eyes where it filtered down through my lashes, and I blinked rapidly.
Get ready to dodge!
I called upon my magic once again. I could already tell this one was going to be tricky. My power was partially drained, and he was big. The earth trembled with the monster's footsteps. It was only 30 feet away. No distance at all, with the buggy going this fast. I threw my magic at him. It plowed into his leg, obliterating the limb. The beast crashed to the ground.
Right!
I screamed. Anna jerked the vehicle toward the right. I clung to the railing, sliding on the platform. We swerved around the salt monster, but the beast reached out with one long arm and swiped at the side of our buggy. His massive hand destroyed the metal spikes on the side, bending them backward. Though they were coated with deadly ravener poison, it didn't affect a creature like him. The shriek of tearing metal sliced at my heart. There went the side door panels. I loved the buggy, but worse than that, we didn't have the money to fix the machine, and we needed this thing for work. For survival. Rat bastard! Anna screamed. It was currently her favorite curse word. But Salt Monster wasn't down yet.
Just keep going!
Quickly, I unclipped my harness and climbed over the front windshield. The truck had no top, just two bench seats where people could sit, or fight from if necessary, hurling magic without the restriction of a hood to stop them. I scrambled by Anna, leaping over one bench seat and then the next, climbing onto the back platform.
Safety first, Anna hollered.
Yeah, yeah. I clipped off my harness because she had a point. If I fell out of this truck, we were both dead. Me, because I'd be Monster Chow, and Anna because she'd come after me, even if I was a lost cause. Behind us, the salt monster clambered to his feet. Make that foot singular. I blasted off the other one. Not that he let it stop him. Nope, old Salty was using his arms as legs now, like some kind of strange orangutan. He lumbered after us, picking up speed.
Come and get it, Salt Face! I shouted.
That's the best you got? Anna yelled back.
You don't like Salt Face?
I'm gonna be frank. It was weak. I scoffed and heaved a sonic boom at the monster. It exploded out of me, much bigger than I'd expected, blasting me backward. The harness jerked me to a stop, and my back ached like hell. My magic had always been tricky and weird, but lately it had been even worse. Sometimes huge, sometimes not. I scrambled upright, clinging to the back railing. The blast had plowed into the salt monster, obliterating him. No surprise. It had been so big that I really hadn't had to aim.
You get him?
Anna asked.
Yeah.
I turned around, wind whipping my long, dark ponytail back from my face. The sun was fully up now, illuminating the valley around us. Sloping mountains on either side rose up toward the clear blue sky, and the heat was already pressing down, suffocating. It was August, and if we didn't get out of here soon, it'd be hard to tell the difference between us and beef jerky.
Almost there.
Anna turned the buggy toward the mountain slope nearest us. I inspected our surroundings for more threats, but once she directed the buggy to climb the slope, I relaxed. The deadly part of the valley, the one that humans knew nothing about, was trapped between two parallel rows of mountains. Now that we were leaving that behind, I could finally start breathing normally again. I unhooked my harness and climbed onto the bench seat next to Anna, collapsing into it with an exhausted sigh and pulling off my dust goggles. I propped my booted feet up on the dash as the truck bounced over the rocks and looked at Anna. She grinned at me, lifting up her goggles to reveal tired, green eyes. Her once blonde mohawk was now pulled back in a long ponytail, a style that made it easier to blend into a crowd. She changed it a lot, but lately, it had been a more subtle style. Her brown leather pants and scrappy brown leather top made her look like she was in Mad Max, but the outfit worked here. I wore the same, unless I wasn't fighting, in which case it was plain jeans and a tee. Blending was important, especially for us. We might be leaving the monsters of Death Valley behind, but danger waited for us all the same. We'd been lying low all our lives, hiding from an unidentified threat. Hell, even those we paid to protect us were now hunting us.
Did they tip?
I asked, mentally calculating what we'd need to make this month's payment on our concealment charms.
No.
Anna scowled.
Stingy jerks.
Damn. Asking for tips was a new thing, but the monthly cost on our concealment charms had been jacked up, so we'd put out a tip jar in the buggy. Considering that we charged thousands for a trip across the valley, it wasn't surprising that folks weren't willing to cough up a little extra. Ricketts is going to be pissed if we can't pay. He's already pissed. We already gave him the money from this job, and it wasn't enough. Anna gunned the engine and swerved around a boulder. Well, he shouldn't have jacked up the price. He does it because he can. I scowled. We were at his mercy, and he knew it. After years of paying on the installment plan, he'd realized how desperate we were to stay hidden. So he jacked up the price, sending his bone crackers after us when we couldn't pay. But we needed that charm to hide us from whoever hunted us. After they'd come for us when we were 5, we'd spent most of our lives hiding, first with our mother and then alone. But we never figured out who hunted us or why. However, they killed our mother, and maybe even our sister, Rowan, so the threat was pretty dang clear. My running theory was that they wanted us because we were unknowns. We were the only supernaturals of an unknown species that I'd ever met. There were mages, vampires, shifters, fae, demons, and monsters of all varieties. And then there was us. Anomalies. Freaks. Unknowns. Marked by a 4-pointed star at the tops of our spines. Marks we kept hidden by magic. In a world where all magic should be identifiable and controllable, according to our government, the Order of the Magicka, being an unknown was dangerous. Our magic was often incredibly strong and uncontrollable. Throughout history, unknowns were often killed out of fear or manipulated by others for their own purposes. That was not going to be us. So we laid low, paying for our concealment charms, when we could afford it, and living on the outskirts of society. The buggy crested the top of the mountain ridge, and the view spread out in front of us. It was glorious, as always, with the desert stretching far and wide. In the distance, our little town of Death Valley Junction sat like a forgotten remnant of the Old West. It was one of the few all-magic towns in the world, hidden from humans by a spell called the Great Peace. The spell kept the existence of supernaturals on the down-low, and led humans away from any of our towns. It was the place we'd ended up after our mother's murder when we were 13. It had been home for the 10 years since. But even that was starting to look iffy, what with Ricketts sending his bone crackers after us. I leaned forward and squinted, searching for any sight of Ricketts's goons. We'd gotten a warning visit recently, which meant we could look forward to seeing more of them soon. "See 'em?" Anna asked. "Nope. Just the usual light foot traffic between the old wooden buildings. We really do need to find a different dealer." "Who, though?" "Fair point." Ricketts had been the only one willing to sell to us on an installment plan, which meant we were stuck relying on a guy who was as likely to kill us as help us. Anna drove the buggy onto the flat ground of the desert and sped toward the town. I stayed alert as we neared. It might be our home, but it hadn't felt that way since Ricketts had sent his bone crackers to scare us. "We really need to move," I muttered. "And go where? Our magic is too unstable to be safe outside of the valley." "My magic, you mean?" I was the one who blew shit up. "Not like I'm going to ditch you." Anna scoffed. "Anyway, without you, I'm nothing but a shield. I need your firepower to make a living. So, yeah, here we stay." I grinned, my chest filling with warmth. Anna was right. There were practical reasons that we stayed in Death Valley. But the fact of the matter was, there would always be a we. Anna and I were a team. Anna drove the buggy down the main street of town. It was straight out of an old Western movie, with a packed dirt road, wooden buildings, and even a saloon called the Death Store. A tumbleweed bounced across the road as a couple of the old-timers sitting on the saloon's porch tipped their hats to us. It had taken us years to earn that honor, which was fair. The old coots had once been some of the toughest dudes around, before our time, at least. Death Valley Junction was full of outlaws, but if you really needed to hide out, then you caught a ride with us across Death Valley. We'd take anyone who could pay, delivering them to Hider's Haven, where the real outlaws lived. We were the only ones brave enough to risk the trip. Therefore, we earned the honor of a hat tip. Anna turned onto our street. She parked the buggy in a patch of dirt at the side of our rundown house. It was a one-story affair, built of weathered brown wood, with a broken step leading up to the magically reinforced door. I leapt out of the buggy and hustled inside, Anna following right behind. I ran a wary gaze over the interior of the house. We were in the kitchen, but I could see the living room at the back of the house. Same crappy old furniture? Check. Same unpaid bills on the counter? Check. Picture of Mom and Rowan on the empty TV table? Check. Welp, that was it. We didn't own anything else of value, besides our enchanted weapons, and we carried those with us at all times, stored inside the ether, and ready to be drawn out of thin air when we needed them. That spell had cost a pretty penny, but it had been worth it. Anna rubbed the back of her neck and headed toward the fridge. I followed. Really feels like something is about to blow any minute, doesn't it? She grabbed a cold bottle of beer out of the fridge and tossed it to me, then took one for herself. These are the last ones, so enjoy them. Will do. It wasn't frou-frou cocktails like I preferred, but those had gone out of the budget years ago. I popped open the beer, took a swig, then poked in the cabinets for some food. I frowned, shoulders drooping. Pretty barren, just like the fridge. Not even PB&J, or candy sandwiches, as I like to call them. With my stomach grumbling, I sat in the rickety chair and propped my boots on the table, then sighed. I wish there was something we could do about Ricketts and his bone crackers. Just thinking about it made fear buzz under my skin, made my stomach turn. When I was afraid, I liked to take action, jump into it. But at the moment, there was nothing to do but wait. Couldn't even sleep in security. It was torture. We need those concealment charms, so we have to keep him happy. Anna leaned over the kitchen sink and looked out the window, clearly checking for our stalkers. You remember what Mom said before she died? Yeah, we can't be exposed. And Ricketts wouldn't hesitate to cut the magic to our charms. At least Ricketts was someone we knew. The unknown was scarier. We had no idea what had happened to Rowan 5 years ago. Though we'd searched, spending most of the money meant for our concealment charm payments, we'd never found her. Honestly, we thought she was dead, captured by those we hid from. My throat tightened. Rowan. I drew in a shuddery breath, forcing away the pain. She might not be dead. Maybe. Bree? Anna's voice broke through the sad soup of my memories. My gaze jerked up to her. Yeah? She turned from the window, her gaze stark. The bone crackers are here. Cold fear flowed through my veins. My muscles tensed, and my mind went on alert as I carefully swung my legs off the table and stood. It felt like I moved in slow motion. I was almost relieved. Finally, the waiting was over. How many? 6. And I'm feeling more magical signatures, so I think there's more. Shit! My heart thundered as I walked to the window. At worst, Ricketts sent 2 to scare us. But 6? That was unheard of. 6 wasn't a warning. 6 was... death. I leaned over the sink and looked out the window. The packed dirt street was empty, except for 6 mages. Each lazily tossed a fireball in the air. Fire mages. In a wooden town. Staring at our wooden house. He's come to make an example of us, I said. We hadn't paid up in months, instead using our money on a lead for Rowan that hadn't panned out. We don't have the payment. And we've hawked everything of value already. Except the buggy. My stomach soured. We give him that and we're dead. No way to make a living means we'll be in this situation next month when it's time to pay up. So you're saying we run for it? A blast sounded. Debris exploded out from the corner of the kitchen. I leapt back. One of the mages, tossing blue balls of energy into the air, had clearly gotten sick of waiting and had hurled one toward the house. I stared at the hole in the wall. Outside, sunlight shined on the dirt. I swallowed hard. Yep, time to run. The time for negotiating is past. We can do a couple more jobs in the desert and use that money to buy ourselves some time. Sounds risky, but since the alternative is that they blow up the house with us inside. Anna grimaced. I'm in. Good. If I was going to go down, it'd be in a blaze of glory, rescuing some baby bald eagles or something heroic. Not as a barbecued example made by a blood sorcerer. I leaned to get a better look out the window. The fire mages were tossing their fireballs more quickly. Deadly jugglers, impatient to start their act. My heart thundered, and my skin grew cold. Another energy ball plowed straight toward the kitchen window, as if someone had seen me peering out. A scream caught in my throat as I threw myself to the floor, trying to avoid the blast of wooden shards splintering out from the wall. Time to go! I scrambled to my feet, Anna following. We crawled to the back door, staying low to avoid the windows and darting around debris. In the living room, I grabbed the picture frame off the otherwise empty TV table and yanked the picture out, shoving it in my jacket pocket. It was the only image we had of our mother and Rowan. If these guys bombed our place, no way I wanted to lose it. I hurried to join Anna, then crouched at the door and looked at her. I swallowed my fear. You shield and I'll blast. She nodded. On three. We counted down, then burst out of the door. Because our lives were generally screwed up, we'd practiced this, knowing that one day our luck would run out and someone would find us here. Like clockwork, we did as we'd trained. Anna going high and me going low, like the SWAT team on TV. It was where we learned our moves, back when we had a TV. She threw out her hands, and her magic exploded outward, creating a glimmering force field that shielded us from oncoming blows. 10 feet from us, there was a man. He was tall and slender, wearing an overcoat that must be torture in this heat. He raised his hand, and a blue glass potion bomb glinted in the light. Dark magic radiated from the thing, stinking like a fish in a sewer. Only deadly potion bombs smelled that bad. You're gonna die, girly, he growled, voice thick with malevolence. Girly, I snarled at him. I drew my sword and shield from the ether, not wanting to waste magic on someone so close. His eyes widened at the sight of the steel. He moved to hurl his potion bomb, but I was too fast, raising my shield and darting toward him. I stabbed him through the heart. He gurgled and grunted, blood pouring down his chest. The deadly potion bomb dropped to the ground, and I dodged the splash. I yanked my blade free and kicked him backward. He tumbled into the dirt, sprawling on his back. Shouldn't stand so close to the enemy, I said, because I'm fast. I raced back behind Anna's shield and stashed my sword in the ether. Nice one, she said. Thanks. I was good with my sword, though I hated to kill. But that guy had made his plans clear. Frankly, I'd rather it be him than me and Anna. There! Anna pointed toward the edge of the house. A mage had appeared, clearly scouting out the back of the house. He was a skinny man in his 40s. His black eyes darted to us, and he grinned, raising his hands. Fire glowed around them, ready to be hurled at us. At my wooden house. They were going to destroy my house. We owned almost nothing, and they would take it from us. My skin chilled as I crouched low and lunged toward the edge of the shield. Behind him, there was nothing but sagebrush, since we lived at the edge of town. I could attack without worrying about blasting away my neighbor's house. I flung a sonic boom toward the man. He hurled a fireball at the same time. It collided with my magic, the fire exploding in a shower of sparks, before the boom overpowered it and crashed into the mage, throwing him to his back. He stayed down, clearly knocked out. Good. After our fight across Death Valley, I wasn't fully charged. Every shot had to count. To the corner! I hurried toward the edge of the house. Anna dropped her shield and followed, Like all supernaturals, or the vast majority at least, her power wasn't infinite either. We peered around the edge. Relief coursed through me when I saw that the buggy, which was parked at the side of the house, was fine. There was no one near it, and the only damage was from the salt monster earlier today. The enemy congregated at the front of the house, on the main street. From here, I could see at least three, though there'd been more when I looked from the kitchen window. One of the mages, who was tossing his fireball in the air, caught sight of us, his blue gaze going bright with interest. We had to get away from the house so his fire wouldn't light up our home. I couldn't bear to lose it. "Shield!" I said. Steaming noon sun burned down on us as Anna threw up her shield, a shimmering barrier about 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide. Sticking side by side, we darted out from behind the house, staying between it and the buggy, not wanting to draw their fire toward either of our only possessions. The mage hurled his flame at us, clearly not able to see the shield, or not caring. It exploded against the luminescent surface that protected us, a shower of sparks raining onto the dirt. The surprise and anger in his eyes confirmed what I'd suspected. He hadn't seen the shield. Only a few supernaturals seemed to be able to. I shifted to the edge of the shield, just enough that I could send a sonic boom toward him. It exploded out of me, blasting through the air to collide with his legs. The shock reverberated up his body, making him shake like a rag doll in a tornado. He crashed to the ground, unable to even shout. I winced, a little bit horrified by my own power. Sure, he was here to kill us, and I wasn't about to let that happen. But I was used to using my magic against monsters and inanimate objects. Seeing it hurt a person like that was disturbing. A blast of blue energy plowed into Anna's shield, driving the worry from my mind. "Only 20 feet to go," I murmured, edging toward the buggy. Anna strained to keep her shield up. When a mage approached with his flame, I raised my hands to blast him. But something plowed into me from behind. Electricity shot up my spine, pain tearing through me. I crashed to the ground on my front, skidding on the dirt. Beside me, Anna sprawled out. Bells clanged in my ears. I blinked, trying to clear my vision. Panic surged as I played dead, surveying our surroundings. Anna was out cold, prone on the dirt next to me. She'd taken the brunt of the hit. Electric shock, I was pretty sure. Painful, but at least it hadn't been fire. The bastards were slowly approaching, their gazes riveted to us. Their hands no longer glowed with magic. They probably wanted to poke us with sticks to see if we were really dead, which bought me a few precious seconds. It felt like time slowed. Adrenaline raced through me. This was it. I had only seconds, and we were surrounded. I scrambled to my feet. Pain twisted my muscles as I grabbed Anna's arm and dragged her limp form across the dirt, heaving with everything I had. Before the mages could power up their magic, we were behind the buggy, Anna still out cold. Unfortunately, the protected side of the buggy was also the side that had been damaged by the salt monster. The damaged, poison-coated spikes bent over the door, locking it closed. I could carefully climb up and over, slipping into the cockpit and driving off, but there was no way I could drag Anna over the spikes without the Ravener poison getting her. I shook Anna. "Get up!" She lay still as a rock. "Get up!" Still nothing. Dang it. I had no more time. I could run for it solo, but I'd rather throw myself onto the Ravener poisoned spikes than leave Anna behind. "Come out," one of the mages sang. His tone made me want to pull his tongue out. Panting, I peered around the edge of the buggy. Four mages approached. Two with glowing blue hands, and two with fire. Though the electric shock blasts would hurt like hell, it was the fire mages who really had me worried. One well-placed fireball could blow the buggy, and us, to smithereens if it hit the engine. "One shot," I muttered. That was all I had to take them all out, and they stood between me and my house, four of them about to fire. I swallowed hard, calling on my magic and letting it grow inside me. With a desperate prayer to whatever fates were listening, I darted out to hurl it at the mages. But a fifth mage. He must have crept up behind the other, because I hadn't seen him. Threw a blue potion bomb toward us. I heaved my sonic boom at the mage, aiming for his blue leather jacket, and hoping to stop his potion bomb. The force of the magic exploding out of me made me stumble backward. The sonic boom that I'd thrown crashed into my attackers, colliding with them like a freight train. They flew backward, their bodies slamming into the wooden wall of my house, along with the rest of my sonic boom. It crashed into the wall, sending wood and glass flying. The house exploded into thousands of pieces of wood and glass. It rained down like a terrible hail. Too much magic. The four attackers were dead now. But so was my house. Hot tears pricked my eyes. I'd expected that maybe they would trash our house. Not that I'd do it. That place had been a hellhole, but it had been our hellhole. I stepped backward, horrified. Something crunched underfoot. I looked down. Shards of the blue potion bomb. Oh, shit. And my side was wet and cold. I touched it, then raised my damp hand to my nose. A blue potion gleamed on my fingertips and smelled like sweet, rotten fish. An impossible, terrible smell that sent terror streaking through me. I'd heard of this, the poison that Ricketts used when he was done with you. It'd kill you in weeks, unless you went to him to get the antidote. Most people didn't even bother to go get it, because whatever he'd do to you when he got you... Fear chilled my skin. We should have paid him the money we owed. I turned to Anna, who was still sprawled in the dirt. Shards of blue glass were scattered around her, and her shirt was wet, too. No! I fell to my knees at her side. She'd been hit. The potion bomb must have avoided my sonic boom, and exploded on the ground between us, splattering us both. I'd been so obsessed with our destroyed house that I hadn't noticed. I shook Anna's shoulder, throat closed tight with fear. Wake up! She was limp as a dish rag. Frantic, I felt for a pulse at her neck. It was steady and strong, thank fates. I peered around the buggy. My house was a pile of rubble, so I could see the front street that had previously been obscured. There were six other mages, all of whom turned to look toward us. My heart thundered in my ears as I called on my magic, only to find the well, empty. I'd used it all up. Shit! Sweat broke out on my skin. Shit, shit, shit! We were rats in a trap, and I was just as scared. All the danger and monsters I'd faced out in Death Valley were nothing compared to this. Oh, man, we needed to run for it. We had to find an antidote to this poison that didn't involve Ricketts. Above all, we couldn't be captured and brought to him. We'd be defenseless. But we couldn't run. There was no way I could haul Anna into the buggy without the Ravener poison getting her. But what if I went from the front? That was slightly shielded. I pulled a bandana out of my pocket and grabbed up some of the glass shards from the potion bomb. We needed to identify the exact poison, if we made it out of here. Then I reached down to grab her arm and pulled. I managed to get her to the front of the buggy, but it was impossible to haul her over the hood. My strength, along with my magic, had waned so much that we were now sitting ducks. Terror tightened my throat. A flash of movement caught my eye. I glanced toward the street. Four more people had arrived. Three were pretty normal, but one was... Holy shit! The fourth one, a man well over 6 feet tall, had a magical signature that smacked me in the face like a wrecking ball. He was danger, and violence, and power. And hot as hell, with dark hair and blazing green eyes set over sharp cheekbones. I shivered, my mouth suddenly dry. If I thought Ricketts' goons were scary, they were nothing compared to this man. Then he turned, and looked straight at me. Chapter 2. Well, now I knew we were gonna die. If this was Ricketts's finishing team, we were done for. A terrible thought flashed in my mind. Oh, hell. Were these the people we'd been hiding from all these years? The reason my mother had run with us after they'd attacked our childhood home. It was more than possible. Since Ricketts had decided to make an example of us, he likely would have cut the magic that fed our concealment charms, which would make it possible for the boogeyman to find us. And this guy could definitely be the boogeyman we'd feared. He turned from me, his gaze sweeping over my assailants, who looked at him like he was the devil come to earth to collect on their sins. The man, Sexy McScary, pointed to the three farthest from me. His companions jumped into action, moving so quickly that they were obviously pros. For the first time, I actually noticed them as more than just faceless sidekicks. Two men, both about my age, and tall and lanky, darted toward two of Ricketts's men. Then they disappeared into the air. One moment they were there, and the next, they were gone. The two fire mages that they'd been running toward suddenly turned their magic on themselves, lighting a massive fire and leaping into it. Oh, hell no! Whatever those two new guys could do, I wanted no part of it. I turned my gaze toward the woman who was with them. She was tall and slim, with short platinum hair and icy gray eyes. She sprinted for the last of the three men, raising her palms and shooting a narrow jet of water at the man. It plowed into his chest, then came out the other side, tinged pink with blood. He toppled onto his back. My stomach turned. Holy fates! She could shoot water so fast that it pierced a person straight through. What the heck was she? I'd never even heard of a power like that. But if I'd thought she was scary, it was nothing compared to Sexy McScary, whose nickname suddenly seemed way too inane for him. He was violence personified. He stalked toward the last three mages, black smoke rolling out from his feet with every step. The earth seemed to shake with the hoofbeats of 1,000 war stallions. Visions of battle and blood flashed in my mind's eye. The three mages just stood and stared at him, as entranced as I was. Probably also frozen with fear. Finally, they seemed to shake themselves out of it, faces pale and hands trembling. They raised their palms, which glowed with fire and blew electric magic. As a group, they hurled their weapons at the man who stalked toward them. The terrifying warrior was 20 feet from them, and entirely unarmed. As if in slow motion, the fireballs and electric energy flew toward him. He raised one muscular arm, and an ancient-looking round shield appeared. The fire and electricity plowed into it. He didn't even falter, just kept charging toward them, picking up speed. Faster and faster. The mages had powered up more fireballs and electricity by the time he neared them, but they never had a chance to deploy their weapons. The man hurled the shield off his arm like a boomerang. It flew through the air, turning as it reached the mages and slicing off their heads. My jaw dropped as their heads flew into the air, blood spurting. The shield turned again, flying back to the man, who caught it. The bodies of the mages collapsed in the dirt. I sank hard onto my butt. Fear, like I'd never known, raced through me, chilling my bones until I thought they might crack. Had he helped us, or cleared the way to get to us? If it was the latter, I can't fight them. I stood literally no chance against a warrior like that. I couldn't fight any of them, not with my magic depleted. I can't do it. Beside me, Anna groaned, then lay still once again. Shit. Can't wasn't going to get us anywhere. Anna needed me, and the fear in my chest drove me to action, as it always did. Fight first, questions later. I swallowed hard and climbed shakily to my feet. The warrior turned toward me, along with his three compatriots. His green eyes landed on me, and he approached. The black smoke no longer rolled out from beneath his feet, and the thunder of warhorse hooves had disappeared. But he was still in fight mode. A guy like him was always in fight mode. I edged away from the buggy. No need to risk my last possession, or Anna, and called upon every scrap of magic I had left. It vibrated inside me, desperate to be set free, as if it, too, knew that this was our only shot. I hurled the power at him, the sonic boom exploding out of me. It wasn't much, just the dregs of my magic, but any size sonic boom was usually pretty good. It smashed into all four of them, bowling the two men and the woman off their feet. They landed hard in the dirt, skidding backward. But the man didn't budge. He just kept walking. Shit! That had never happened before. I glanced down at Anna. I'm so sorry. Then I turned to the man, straightening my shoulders. There wasn't an ounce of magic left in me, but I still had my sword stashed in the ether. I just needed to find a time to use it. As he stalked toward me, his magical signatures filled the air. Each supernatural had a magical signature that was uniquely theirs. They hit the senses. Taste, smell, touch, that sort of thing. Very strong supernaturals had more than one signature. This guy had all five. The scent of a storm at sea filled my nose, and the taste of tart apples touched my tongue. His magic sounded like the clang of swords in battle, and felt like a caress against my skin. I shivered. It took all I had to ignore it, and focus on the aura that radiated from him. Black and silver. It was a strange one. I'd never seen any like it. In fairness, I'd seen only a few auras in my life. They were the rarest signature of all. He stopped about 10 feet from me, sizing me up. Fair enough, since I was doing the same to him. He was built like violence personified, but was insanely handsome in a way that warmed me and made me feel like a giant idiot at the same time. He was dangerous, and he looked it. His black hair gleamed in the sunlight, and his green eyes glinted with interest. But it was his full lips that softened his harsh face, drawing my gaze. I was attracted, and scared, and pissed, all at the same time. It was a sickening combo, to be honest. At some point, his friends had rejoined him, but they lingered about 10 feet back, as if making it clear that he was the boss and they were backup. His gaze dropped to Anna, who lay in the dirt a few feet from me. I stepped toward her, getting in the way.
"You protect your friends?"
he asked, his rough voice tinged with a sexy Scottish accent.
"Obviously, you moron!"
Well, that wasn't a great start. The corner of his full lips quirked up.
"I expected a thank you, not insults."
"A thank you?"
"For killing your attackers."
"Huh, I had that under control."
So maybe he was helping us?
"Hmm."
His eyes sparkled as he glanced toward my destroyed house.
"Aye."
I scowled, but was happy to let him believe that Ricketts' men had done that. Not me. No way.
"Who the hell are you?"
"I'm Kate, and I am here to collect you."
Bellaticatros. The word whispered on the wind. That was his real name. Somehow I knew it. Yet he called himself Cade? Well, I would too if my name were that crazy. Except I couldn't focus on that. Not when they were here to collect us.
Collect?
My heart thundered. These folks didn't seem like the people we'd run from as children. They were too young, and their magic didn't smell evil, like our pursuers did. Still, I'm not super interested in being collected. I looked around, hoping against hope that the town's residents would rise up to protect us. But no way in hell that was going to happen. Death Valley Junction was a last resort kind of town, one where you came if you were in trouble. Hence, it was full of outlaws minding their own business. We might get a hat tip, but no backup. The closest thing we had to family or friends here was an old man we'd befriended when we'd first arrived. But he was too old to launch an attack, and I wouldn't want him to risk himself like that. So that was out.
"Come."
Cade stepped forward, his hand outstretched. Seriously? I was dealing with a destroyed house and deadly poisoning, and now these folks. I tapped my chin as I stepped back, mind racing, stalling for an idea, or lulling him away from the hypervigilance he wore like a cloak, waiting for Anna to wake. I wasn't sure what I was stalling for yet, just that I needed some kind of advantage. Not interested, especially when you haven't explained who you are.
I represent the Undercover Protectorate. We'd like to make you an offer.
The name rang a bell, but I couldn't place it. I quirked a brow. One I can't refuse? The woman behind him huffed a laugh.
Aye.
He nodded. Beside me, Anna shifted slightly. Waking? She'd do it quietly, hoping to have the advantage. I knew her like I knew myself, and that was what I'd do. But what about the poison? On the ground, her hand formed a peace sign. Our symbol. Fight time. It was ironic that we'd chosen the peace sign for when we would launch an attack, but we'd always been a little weird. Like our SWAT team formation from earlier, this was a holdover from when we knew we'd have to run for it eventually. I shifted left, making sure to draw his eyes away from her. Well, I refuse.
You haven't heard it.
I darted my gaze to the left of his shoulder, forcing my eyes wide and my expression horrified. As expected, he turned to look. I drew my sword from the ether, the magical atmosphere that surrounded us, and sliced it toward him. I'd wound him enough to distract his colleagues, then we'd run for it in the buggy. Anna jumped up as I'd known she would, then crouched, ready to fight or flee. But as my blade neared him, Cade reached out without even turning, catching the shining steel in his hand. Holy fates! I jerked at my blade, but he gripped it tightly. No blood seeped from his palm, though it should. My sword could cut through metal. What the hell? He turned to me, his gaze heavy.
Don't try it. You can't beat me.
Are you a robot? His lips quirked up in a sexy smile.
Hardly.
From behind him, the two men laughed. They had dark hair and golden skin, both of them pretty enough to be in a boy band. The one on the left smiled.
Strength of a robot, maybe.
But smoocher? Anna moved closer to me, so her shield could block us both. Sweat dotted her forehead. I don't know what you're offering, but I heard Bree refuse, so I'm out too. The scary water woman's mouth quirked up in a smile.
That's not an option. You're coming with us. It's not safe to speak here, but we'll explain when we arrive back at headquarters,
Cade said. You want us to come to some mysterious place with you? A guy who isn't hurt by swords? That's literally the worst offer I've ever gotten, and I was once offered a night in the sack with a guy named Big Monkey. He had no teeth, and his knuckles dragged on the ground. So let's just say I know a bad offer when I see one. Out of the corner of my mouth, I whispered to Anna, shield us to the buggy. Now! She threw out her hands, her shield bursting forth. We raced for the buggy, which was only 6 feet away. We could make it. We had to make it. Cade was fast, though. He was on us in seconds, somehow breaking through Anna's shield. Her magic faded entirely. What the hell? Something was really wrong with her. That poison. I swung my blade, slicing his shoulder. The deep cut welled with blood, but he moved faster, so quickly I almost couldn't see him. His strong arms wrapped around me, pinning my sword arm to my side. One of the other men was on Anna a moment later. I thrashed and struggled, but his iron grip kept me immobile. His heat burned through me, making my heart pound and rage rise in my chest. Let me go! Anna shrieked, managing to get an elbow into the face of the man who held her. Rat bastards! She shouted.
I'll have you know that my parentage is sound.
The man grinned. He's 100% moron. Both sides! The platinum-haired woman crowed. These people were nuts. I thrashed in Cade's iron grip, desperation fueling me. But he didn't budge. The cage of his arms somehow gentle, despite their permanence. The woman stepped forward, digging into her pocket. She pulled out a small black stone. A transport stone.
No!
I screamed. She chucked it to the ground, and glittering smoke rose up. Cade dragged me into it, and the ether sucked me in, sending me on a whirlwind ride through space. My head spun as the blackness surrounded me. A moment later, I stumbled on solid ground. Cade released me, and I went to my knees in soggy, cold grass. I shivered and scrambled to my feet, spinning around. My heart calmed, just slightly, when I saw Anna next to me. She'd managed to maintain her footing, but probably only because her captor still held her. All around us, mountains soared, stretching into the distance. Steep and dusty green, they were freaking amazing. Sweeps of purple covered their sides, and in a deep valley, a sparkling river wound toward the horizon. The air was cool and wet, gray clouds hanging low. We were so not in Death Valley anymore.
Where are we?
I demanded. There wasn't a single building, road, or car in sight.
Scotland, the far north,
Cade said. Otherwise known as the ass end of nowhere. The woman grinned, then sauntered over and stuck out her hand. I'm Caro. I stared at her hand like it was a snake, then met her silver eyes.
You have to be joking. You just abducted me. I'm not about to make nice.
She shrugged, clearly not bothered. You'll come around.
They all do. We did,
one of the men said. He let go of Anna, and she darted away, stumbling toward me. There was only one reason they'd let go of us. There was nowhere to go. Not for miles, probably. The dark-haired man smiled.
I'm Ollie.
And I'm Harris,
the other said.
What are you?
I demanded, remembering their creepy power.
Jin,
they both said. At my blank look, Ollie said,
People think we're genies, but we don't do wishes. Just invisibility and possessing people.
They'd made those mages kill themselves.
I backed up.
Stay the hell away from me, then.
Seconded, Anna said.
Don't worry about us, Harris said.
I'd be the judge of that. We're in the Highlands, then? Ollie glanced at the mountains around.
What gave it away?
Funny. I shot him the hairy eyeball.
You can't walk out of here,
Cade said.
So you may as well come with us and hear what we have to say.
I'm not afraid to walk.
I stepped back from him, wanting to put as much distance as I could between myself and the sexy supernatural of indeterminate, but terrifying, species. I made it 3 steps before I hit an invisible barrier.
What the hell?
You're on our land,
Cade said.
Until you're within the castle, you can't go far from us.
Caro winked. A freaking wink? She was nuts.
Come on.
Cade turned and set off across the side of the mountain.
We'll explain it all when we're within the walls. It's safer there.
The others followed. When they were about 10 feet away from us, immense pressure formed at my back, forcing me to follow. Anna kept in step with me, dragged along in the same way. If only my magic weren't depleted, maybe I could blast out of this. We just have to go along until we had the strength to fight our way out.
What the heck is happening?
Anna whispered. Who are these people?
I have no idea.
I studied Cade's impossibly broad shoulders. I don't think they're Ricketts' men, since they killed the bastards. But are they the people that Mom warned us about?
They don't seem like the ones who came for us when we were children,
Anna said. Their magic doesn't feel the same. Not evil, but dangerous. I still remembered running with our mother, the dark magic pursuing us. We'd made it away, barely, but never been able to return home. Let's reserve judgment. I met her worried gaze. Because we have bigger problems. Then abduction? Yeah. While you were unconscious, we were both poisoned by that stuff Ricketts uses to force you to go to him. Her face paled. The poison that turns you to stone. I think so. It smelled like it. We'd heard it described before by other horrified outlaws who'd gone to Ricketts for help. Like we stupid they had. Why does he want us to go to him? She asked. To make us pay up? We can't do that without a job or money. No idea. Something weird is happening. We just need to... My words trailed off as we turned a bend on the mountainside. Holy fates, Anna breathed. A castle spread out before us, a monstrosity built of gray stone and black slate. The exterior walls soared high, but the towers were even higher, piercing the gray sky. The place was impossibly huge, and magic sparked around it, almost like it was a living thing. I picked my jaw up off the floor in time to notice Caro staring at us. Pretty cool, huh? It's all right. It was more than all right. It was incredible. And I really didn't want to go inside those walls. Because even though it looked like a fantasy on steroids, there'd be no getting out of there. But our captors kept walking, and we kept being dragged along behind. I dug my heels into the dirt, sweat breaking out on my skin. But it did no good. The spell dragged me along behind them. I hate this freaking spell, Anna muttered, a single bead of sweat rolling down her face. Second it, I panted, then finally gave up fighting and walked. I needed to conserve my strength, and my chest was starting to ache. Was that the poison? I shuddered. Caro sauntered back to join. Not bad, eh? Caro said. I'm not a fan. You will be, she grinned. I was skeptical first, too, but now I'm a convert. Like a cult? This was getting weird. Nah, you'll see, she winked. The two djinn were goofing off in the distance, laughing their heads off, and clearly comfortable now that they were home. Cade walked with purpose. Caro studied Anna. Are you doing all right? Fine. But Anna's voice wavered. Her color was paler than usual. Was she feeling the effects of the poison, too? Are you sure? Caro pointed to the guys. One of the guys could carry you. I'm fine. Neither of us were, but I understood her need to put on a show of strength. I wrapped an arm around her waist, and we helped each other walk. My pain wasn't too bad, but it did ache. I hoped hers wasn't worse. I looked at Caro, appreciating the concern she was showing to Anna. These people weren't acting like evil abductors. You're really not going to kill us? She shook her head. No! I almost believed her. But maybe that was my desperation talking, because we were at a serious low point. My magic hadn't renewed enough to make an escape yet. This situation might be bad, but what we were running from was worse. So it looked like we'd be getting a tour of the castle. They led us up to a massive gate and stopped in front of it. Cade laid a big hand against the sturdy wood and murmured a few words I couldn't hear. The gate groaned and creaked as it rose. Anna and I followed Cade through the gate, everyone else behind us. The wall was so wide that it felt like passing through a tunnel. Magic sparked over my skin, some kind of protective spell that would keep out unwelcome visitors. If I could feel it, and I'd been invited, that meant it was strong as hell. There was no way Ricketts could get through here without an inside man. If he could even find it out here in the boonies, which I sincerely doubted. I leaned toward Anna and whispered, "If this wasn't a crazy cult, it'd be a great hideout." She nodded. You read my mind. A massive stretch of land sprawled out ahead of us. It was huge, indicating that the castle compound was far bigger than I'd realized. Due to magic expanding the space within, if I had to guess. In the middle of the open space, about 100 meters away on a hill, sat the biggest castle I'd ever seen. It was a monstrosity of towers and massive halls. so huge that it'd probably take decades to learn it all. Magic sparked from the place,